Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through interesting sources to bring you the key insights. And today, well, we're really excited. We're diving into a fascinating new book.
Yeah, this one's causing quite a stir. It's called AI for Christians, Spirit-Led, AI Ready, Internally Anchored. Just published this year, 2025, by Praxeotech Publications.
And it's not your typical tech manual, definitely not just theology either. It's really exploring this intersection, this new space where faith and AI meet.
It really is. And it kicks off with a pretty bold claim. I mean, really bold. The book suggests AI could be the most powerful force for spiritual growth since Gutenberg inked his first page.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Since Gutenberg, that's a statement.
It is. It puts AI right up there with the printing press, even the internet, in terms of potential impact on, you know, spreading the gospel. Think back, Gutenberg, right? Around 1454. He didn't invent all the pieces from scratch.
Right. He combined existing tech, movable type, the press, the ink.
Exactly. Combined them in a new way, and boom, the Bible gets into the hands of ordinary people. Huge catalyst for the Reformation.
And then the internet. Same sort of amplifying effect globally.
Yeah.
Sermons online, resources everywhere.
Right. And now the book says, here we are again, but there's a twist this time.
What's that?
This time it talks back. That interactivity is the game changer, according to the authors.
That makes sense. And that's what I found compelling, too. It's clear this isn't about, you know, robots preaching or replacing prayer time with an app.
Not at all. The book frames it more like an invitation to explore AI, to experiment, but to do it thoughtfully, as disciples who think deeply and create boldly.
I love their description for it.
Yeah.
What was it? Sunday school meets Silicon Valley with coffee?
Yes. That sums it up perfectly, doesn't it? Grounded, practical, but exploring cutting-edge stuff.
So that's our plan for this deep dive. We're going to unpack how this book demystifies AI, why it keeps stressing prayer as the starting point,
and how it suggests Christians can actually steward this technology faithfully for multiplication, even like Moses used his staff or David his sling, tools for a purpose.
Or Paul uses pen.
Exactly. And the book throws out this idea, maybe a bit provocative. The next great awakening might not start in a tent revival. It might start with a prompt.
Okay, that definitely makes you think. Let's get into then. You mentioned prayer. The book really anchors everything there first, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Right at the beginning, before diving into any tech talk, it states very clearly, wisdom doesn't come from code. It comes from God. Sets the whole tone.
A crucial foundation. Okay, so from that foundation, how does it explain the tech itself, like generative AI?
Right. It explains generative AI as tech that, well, creates. It can write things, sermons, poems. It can make images, compose music even.
Sounds almost magical.
It can feel that way, but the book is very careful here. It stresses AI doesn't think the way you do. It doesn't have a soul, a spirit, or a conscience. Big distinction.
So what is it doing then?
It's mimicking creation. It blends patterns. It learns from vast amounts of data, uses probability. Think of it like the world's most ambitious autocomplete.
Ambitious autocomplete. I like that. Driven by math.
Exactly. The book calls it complex, probability-heavy, scary, good math. That's how it generates stuff that seems intelligent. But the core point is firm. AI is not divine, but it can serve divine purposes.
Okay. So if it mimics, how does it actually learn those patterns? The book talks about machine learning, right?
It does. Machine learning is how these systems find patterns in data without being explicitly programmed for every single step. It's about statistical repetition, not spiritual discernment.
Statistical repetition, not spiritual discernment. Got it.
Yeah.
And this relies on algorithms.
Yes, which the book calls glorified recipes. But, and this is a key point they make, these recipes are not neutral.
Oh, so not neutral.
Well, think about social media algorithms. They're often designed to maximize clicks or engagement, right? That goal shapes what you see. It can push sensational stuff over, say, truthful or balanced content. So the algorithm itself has a bias, an agenda, even if unintentional.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. It's shaping culture based on its programmed goals.
Precisely. And that leads directly into the training data issue.
The raw material AI learns from.
Exactly. Billions and billions of examples scraped from the internet. The book lists things like sermons, songs, photos, Bible verses, tweets, and cooking blogs. Just a massive digital soup.
And the AI reads all that. Now, how does the book put it?
Without spiritual discernment, it literally doesn't know the difference between Romans and romance novels. It just sees text patterns.
Okay, so that lack of discernment must lead to problems.
Big problems, like bias. If the training data reflects societal biases or stereotypes, the AI will learn and replicate them. It might leave people out.
And the other one, hallucinations. That sounds serious.
It is. That's when the AI essentially makes something up that sounds right, but isn't. It's predicting the next word or pixel so confidently it just invents things.
Like inventing Bible verses.
Exactly. Or getting quotes wrong. The book says it's just confidently guessing wrong. Imagine using an AI-generated sermon point based on a verse that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Which brings up the big question. If AI can sound right but be wrong, maybe even miss Christ entirely, as the book hints, why should Christians even bother using it?
A fair question, and the book addresses it directly. The advice is essentially, use it, but use it with wisdom. Use it to amplify truth, not replace your judgment.
And guard against just being lazy or, worse, plagiarizing.
Definitely. Guard against laziness and plagiarism. And remember, the goal isn't to compete with AI. The book says we're called to be fully human. The AI's value depends entirely on the user. It's only as good as the heart and hands that guide it.
The responsibility stays with us.
Mm.
Okay, so if we are going to guide it, we need to know how. This brings us to prompt engineering.
Yes, exactly. The book calls it the holy art of asking AI the right way. Because remember, the AI doesn't read your heart, it reads your words.
Makes sense. Vague input gets vague output.
Precisely. So you need to be specific.
And the book gives practical tips for this, right? I thought this part was really helpful, like telling it the tone you want.
Yeah, that's a great one. You can say, write this like a compassionate youth pastor, or even write like Max Lucado, warm, poetic, and full of metaphors.
Or specifying the format. Give me 3 bullet points.
Right. Format instructions are key. Or assigning it a role. Tell it, you are a children's pastor explaining this parable. It helps the AI adopt the right perspective and vocabulary.
So you're basically coaching the AI.
You really are. And the book gets into even more advanced ways to coach it, like prompt chaining.
Okay, what's that?
It's breaking down a big task into smaller steps. You give a prompt, get a response, then use that response to build your next prompt. Each step refines the output.
Ah, like guiding it stage by stage.
Exactly. The book likens it to a mentor guiding a disciple, or how God rarely gives us the full picture all at once. You work through it iteratively.
That's a powerful analogy. What about chain of thought prompting?
That's another fascinating one. You actually ask the AI to think step by step and explain how you got the answer.
Why is that important?
It's crucial for things like theology or ethics, anywhere discernment is vital. Seeing the AI's reasoning helps you spot flaws or biases in its logic. You can see why it concluded something and whether it went off track.
So you can peek under the hood a bit.
Right. And the book makes this lovely point that Jesus often explained his reasoning, his chain of thought, long before we had a term for it.
That's really insightful. Okay, so with these skills, knowing how to prompt effectively, the book then shows how to actually create things, right? To reflect truth and beauty.
Yes. Moving from theory to practice. It starts with text-to-image generation. Your words become pictures.
Like the examples it gives, glowing galaxies or smiling Bible characters in Pixar style.
Exactly. Imagine creating custom illustrations for Sunday school lessons on the fly, or designing unique artwork for a sermon series without needing a graphic designer.
That's incredibly powerful. And it talks about style, too.
Yeah, how the same prompt can generate images in vastly different styles. A scene could look like a classical oil painting, or like Pixar animation, or maybe a Japanese ink brush style.
Which lets you tailor the visuals.
To reach different audiences? Absolutely. Communicate timeless truths using art styles that resonate now.
And it goes beyond still images. Video.
It does. Video generation. Taking those images and animating them. The book suggests uses like bring Bible scenes to life for kids or creating animated intros for sermons.
Wow. Okay. And music, AI music.
Yep. AI music creation described as potentially composing psalms with the machines. You could type in a prompt like generate a soft piano worship song in C major and get something back.
Seriously. That could. I mean, for churches without musicians,
it could be a huge help. Create original worship music without needing a band, as the book says.
And then it gets even more practical, almost into automation with podcasts.
Right. Automated podcasts. The idea is you could use AI scripts and AI voices to, as the book puts it, share the word while you're still in bed.
So things like sermon recaps, daily devotionals.
Exactly. Could be produced and shared globally very quickly. It's about multiplying your reach without totally burning yourself out. But the book adds that important caveat. It's not about perfection. It's about praise. Using the tools for God's glory.
That perspective is key. Now, the book also touches on even more advanced stuff, like AI agents.
It does. These are described as self-directed AI that can take actions on your behalf. Think of them like a, well, the book playfully calls it a spiritual intern who actually follows through.
Ah, I like that. So what could they do?
Tasks like summarizing research, finding biblical references on a topic, maybe even scheduling reminders for spiritual disciplines. The idea is delegating some of the administrative noise so you can focus on hearing God's voice.
That's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
But all this power creation automation must bring up ethical questions.
Absolutely. And the book dedicates significant space to AI ethics. It asks that critical question. Just because you can do something with AI doesn't mean you should.
Because the AI itself has no moral compass.
None. It repeats. AI doesn't have a soul. It doesn't pray before it speaks. It doesn't feel remorse. It doesn't love. It just executes its programming, which means our values, our ethics become paramount.
So how does the book guide Christians through that ethical maze?
It offers a set of core questions to ask yourself. Questions around truth. Is this helping me share truth, or could it distort it? Ownership. Am I taking credit for the AI's work?
Justice too, right? Is the tool biased?
Yes, and humanity. Am I automating something that really needs a personal human touch, like pastoral care, perhaps? And finally, wisdom. Is using AI in this specific way actually wise?
Those are really searching questions, especially thinking about bias again.
The book really hammers this home. Bias in AI is real and reflects the culture that trained it, and it warns about potential religious bias too. AI might avoid spiritual topics or conclusions because they aren't trending in its data.
So what's the bottom line for navigating all this?
Discernment. Constant discernment. The book points to scripture. Test everything. From 1 Thessalonians, don't just blindly accept what the AI produces or conform to how the world uses it. The biggest warning is clear. Don't outsource wisdom.
Don't outsource wisdom. That's powerful. So wrapping this all up, what's the final takeaway for someone listening, maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed but also intrigued?
The book lands on a really crucial point. Technology is a tool, not a shepherd. AI isn't your guide. It isn't your savior. It's not the source of truth.
It's like a helpful walking stick. It can assist the journey.
Exactly. Assist, serve, not substitute. It's meant to help, not replace your relationship with God or your reliance on the Holy Spirit.
And it emphasizes that this whole thing is a journey, not a shortcut.
Absolutely. AI might enhance Bible study or spark ideas, sure, but it can't replace the Spirit's whispers. It can't pray with genuine faith. That distinction is vital.
So much to think about there.
And the book leaves us with this thought looking ahead. The future will bring more tools, more noise, more power. Technology will keep advancing.
But our core calling remains the same.
Unchanged. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the anchor.
So the ultimate invitation here, the hope expressed in the book, is that AI could potentially help you with the mind so you can give more fully of your heart and soul.
That's the vision. Using these tools as part of reflecting the Creator's image, the call to make, to imagine, to build, and to bless.
It really makes you wonder, where could a humble prompt, guided by prayer and wisdom, lead you in your own spiritual growth? Definitely a book worth exploring.